Hey, welcome in. Glad you're along for the ride. We are live at Poe's here at the beach. We've been here before with our friends from Brett Hastings from the Hastings Injury Law Firm today. We'll get to spend some time with our friends from Relevant, some fun trivia giveaways. That'll be an awful lot of fun. We remind you to log on or to download the Relevant app and the Jack Sports Fans Vibe. And let's all talk sports together over the course of a football weekend.
Lauren, I see Brooks, a nice long sleeve Jaguars thing. Is that one of the trivia giveaways?
It is not.
That pullover is really nice.
Yeah,
though.
It's very nice. That came from my closet. It will wind up tonight in my closet. So it is
okay,
not.
But all it's right. Good to know.
I showed up here in jeans but brought shorts, put on the shorts. Brooke showed up in shorts, brought jeans. Caroline showed up in long pants when I'm in shorts for the first time I've known you.
It's it really is history in the making.
Yeah, and I will say this. I've seen you wear long pants 4 days in a row.
I know.
There's had to be a double dip in there somewhere. I'm not doubting. I'm just not doubting that. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a double dip. I'm just telling you.
It's a week unlike any other.
No question.
Wait, does anyone wash their jeans every single time?
I don't know the pro. I do not. But
okay.
I don't know the protocol.
I think jeans are fine to be worn multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. How about that?
I would agree.
We just dropped protocol on them. Is what happened right there. So.
Enough of the mask protocol. We're talking jeans.
Yeah,
washing. So
there is that. Hey, a lot of things to get to today on the program. Talk some Jags to start this thing off. College football as well. And again, we want you to come see us here at Poe's. We'll stick around a little bit after 5 o'clock. Have a beer or two if you want to come by. Love to do that. But come by and say hello to our friends from Relevant and find out all about the terrific app that is Relevant. Vanderbilt FSU. Who wins the game?
I would pick Florida State by four.
By four. Who wins the game?
I would pick Vanderbilt because they're starting to play a lot better, and I'm not sure who's going to be starting quarterback for FSU against Clemson. It might be Tate Rodemaker if Jordan Travis can't go, and there's no way they're going to win, even against Vanderbilt, who's winless this year. They're still FSU's not going to win that game. What
I would
do you
pick
say?
Vanderbilt. I think Vanderbilt would beat Florida State. I think on a neutral field, they're similar, but I think Vanderbilt would beat Florida State. I do. The telltale will be I don't think Florida State's winning tomorrow. Florida State plays. Next week, I don't remember who they play. The final game's at Duke.
I think it's Virginia. Then
Virginia. Then. I don't think they're beating Virginia.
No.
The at Duke game will be the telltale of where they are. Where are they? Are they lower than Duke? Are they not?
Did you ever think you'd say that sentence when discussing Florida State?
I didn't think
football.
I'd ask who'd beat win between
Duke
Vanderbilt
is the bar.
Yeah, and I and again, let me a shout out by the way to my many FSU buddies who think we're trolling. We had these same conversations.
It's not trolling.
You're terrible. But about the time.
You're 20-26 in your last 46 games. How is it trolling?
But about the time Georgia Southern took a knee at the end of the game and beat Florida without completing a pass, we were the same guys there. So this isn't a Florida State pick. Gator people picking on Florida State. But having said
Duke
all that.
Duke is 1-6, as 1-6 in the league, same as Florida State.
So who plays closer? Who plays that game? Who loses by fewer points tomorrow at noon? Vanderbilt or Florida State?
Well, I'll say Vanderbilt, but that doesn't mean I think Vanderbilt is better than Florida.
Right,
I think Clemson is. I mean,
Clemson
is just so much better than Florida.
Yeah, I get it.
That I think that's why I say that. But yeah, I would say Vanderbilt will play the closer game.
I would say I see Clemson with Trevor Lawrence back on the field. I see that one as 58-13. I see Florida as 54-27. I think both Clemson and Florida go north of 50. Agree or disagree?
I'll say Florida does not go above 50, but okay. Clemson does.
What about you?
I agree. I think Clemson over 50, Florida under 50.
So we'll see what happens. They're red hot. Both quarterbacks are red hot. So we'll talk a little bit about that today on the program.
Do you think Trevor Lawrence will have any sort of rust?
I don't. Yeah. I think he's bad. I think he can't. I think he's
just
chomping.
Not against Florida State.
Just watching him on the sideline, man, he's chomping at the bit. You can just see him chomping at the bit on the sideline. Okay, so you can see that. So, no, I don't. I don't sense that at all.
He may not have an incompletion tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
That may be like 24 of 24 for 425.
Yeah.
Six touchdowns, no obviously picks.
Does Trevor Lawrence play in the third quarter?
Yes, but not for very long.
Yeah, it probably starts the second half. You know what, though? If it's 38-3, maybe not.
Yeah, but I think there's certainly a chance he does not play in the second half.
I'm curious to see if Dabo makes any sort of Heisman push with Trevor because his guy is now behind in the race. And so does he keep him in for a couple extra possessions knowing that that's a statistical award and he's trailing now pretty substantially in touchdown passes to Kyle Trask?
And I wonder what Mullen does. Look, Mullen, no one thought his guy was winning it. Okay? He's never had the kind of prominence and the kind of adulation that Dabo's had. He's not had that. Mac Jones gets in it. Saban's had it. Okay? The other two of the other guys that are in the could be the coach, Ryan Day's already had it. The other guys who may have a guy win the Heisman have had the adulation somehow, some way. Mullen's not had it. Mullen's not had everyone say the one time he went to New York with Tebow, Urban got the adulation. Believe me, I was up there walking around with all those guys. I'm telling you, he got the – so it was all Urban. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's some Heisman snaps in Nashville. I would think there might be some. You know, I'm torn on that a little bit. I kind of want to see some Emory snaps because at some point Emory's your quarterback. You know, and so the more Emory, don't you think the more – and I don't know that this won't be the best chance to get those. You know, Kentucky's pretty good defensively. Tennessee's not very good, but it's up there late. LSU's LSU, you know, so
I'd like to see Anthony Richardson more, too.
Yeah, and I wonder how they'll play that. Oh, you can, there's only so many snaps.
Right.
You know, you got to get Trask. For first, you got to win the game. Then you got to get Trask is – and let's be honest. You got to win the game. B, you probably got to get a few – oh, I don't know – CFP votes just in case. Some just in case CFP votes. So you got to get those. You got to win the game. You probably got to get the Emory snaps. I don't know how many there are to go around. So we'll certainly talk about that on the program today. A lot of things to get to, but I'm going to start with the Jags. Now maybe without Sidney Jones. If they don't have Sidney Jones on the heels of not having C.J. Henderson against Ben Roethlisberger, I'll tell you what I learned from talking to folks today in Pittsburgh. We'll start it off with Jags and Steelers. That's our topic after this. Live from Pose on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Third down and two. Here we go after the two-minute warning. Third and two, Jags from their own 10-yard line. He gives it for that. He's into the open field. He is into the open field in the Steeler territory. Watch this. Are you kidding me? Touchdown. Leonard Fournette just went 90 yards. Touchdown, Jacksonville. There's the icing on the cake as they lay it to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That comes from the That Was Then category.
Yeah.
The good archive.
Thank good archive.
That was a very pleasant memory.
Yeah, that was from the That Was Then category. Steelers and Jags. I got to ask a question about protocol. Brooks, you got to help me with this protocol. Okay?
I'm always happy to help you.
This is the protocol question. So you and I have never done a Zoom call before.
That's correct.
You and I have done Zoom sales calls.
Correct.
Okay. Now, you dress the same way. You might have on like shorts and bare feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you dress the same way. Okay. Hair. Look, everything okay? Everything's normal, right? Okay.
I don't like where this is
okay,
going.
Okay, so we always, but I'm just asking. So we have this.
I really don't like where this
we have
is
this Zoom call today with clients. Stay with me on this, and I'm on. And Lauren, by the way, we've been calling clients all the time. Super professional, great dresser. We call on our clients.
And come
so,
a butt.
So today we have two clients on, dressed nice, hair nice, clothes. And Brooks and I are on. Brooks, what about the wet hair? What about the wet hair? Is there a protocol? Okay, I'm not saying the hair was wet on the Zoom call, Hayes, but you looked like she just won the gold medal in the 200 IM.
I had just finished working out at about 10:30.
Okay.
Hopped in the shower.
Okay.
And because it's Zoom, I didn't think anyone was going to call me out.
Did you blow a fuse in the blow dryer?
Hair. No, I didn't have time to blow dry before Zoom.
At one point, Brian walked behind her. Brian, her boyfriend, is here now. Brian walked behind. I was hoping he was going to grab a towel, dry that stuff off or something, for crying out loud.
I almost put my hair back because I was like, Frank's going to say something about my wet hair. And then I said,
wet hair.
No, he won't care. He understands in these days of Zoom.
I thought you'd have to wait to do the call because Summer Sanders was going to interview you about the gold medal.
That would be lovely.
Okay, I just didn't protocol. It was tremendous, though. It was a great call, and I just said that the hair is kind of a little damp is what I noticed. I noticed the dampness of the hair. So, it's protocol.
11 a.m. is right in my time when I'm normally blow-drying my hair, apparently.
So, and Brian, just a towel. One towel, Brian's all we need. One little, you know, kind of shimmy in the back would have been good. But that's the first time we'd ever done a Zoom call together. Zoom call protocol.
My hair might be wet. I almost put a hat on, a Best Bet hat on, since we were hanging out with Best Bet. Because I was like, that way Frank won't notice my hair is wet.
Yeah,
maybe I should have.
And it's not like me to point it out 4 minutes into the show. I would never be that guy that would do that. So, I'm just kidding with you. Kind of damp hair. The Jags Steelers, I talked to the guys in Pittsburgh today. a guy that has covered the team since before Roethlisberger got there.
Okay.
Thinks he's playing at a better level than he has ever played. Ever. Better level than he's ever played. We don't watch him every week. What do you – and again, this was Stan Saverin, who Stan Saverin covered the Bradshaw Steelers. He still does radio. Okay, 72 years old. He's done radio and TV up there for about 40 years, 45 years. And he says Frankie's playing better than he's ever played in his career.
Well, the thing that I take away from it is Roethlisberger's mental toughness has always been on display. But what I think is really special about the year he's having this year is he was told he was done. I mean, there were a lot of people that thought the elbow injury that sidelined him for the majority of last year was going to be it. And then we saw the pictures of him in the offseason, and he looked like, you know, Grizzly Adams, and, you know, that he was, you know,
Grizzly Adams.
Really not, you know, taking really
right.
good care of his body. And obviously he knew exactly what he was doing, got in great shape, and now you're seeing the results. So to me, it comes back to Roethlisberger's mental toughness over, okay, you guys all think I'm done. Okay, I'll show you that I'm not done. And I do think what you guys have been saying all week about, you know, having an array of weapons. He doesn't feel like he has to force feed one guy. He's got, you know, a number of outstanding options. And so because of that, he's making good decisions with the ball. But I think you can certainly make a case that Roethlisberger is having a career year.
Yeah, and he's getting the ball out a lot faster, which we've discussed this week, too. And that, I think, goes to how smart of decisions he's making. And then mechanically, he's able to – and maybe he improved his mechanics last year. But if you look at his stats, which I was looking at since 2004 to now, he's never had a year where he's had this high of a completion percentage and this low of an interception – this low of interceptions. He's almost 68%, 22 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's had a lot of – really good years with completion percentage, but he's also had a lot more picks.
He's been a turnover machine, and you made the point about he doesn't rely on Antonio Brown. That we talked about that today, too, that he's not. But the other thing is, and Ben used to be macho guy. He's a great quarterback. He's been to 3 Super Bowls and won 2 of them. He's obviously a pretty good player. He's a great player. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's in fact, he might be first ballot Hall of Fame guy. He's going without a doubt. But he's always been drop back, pump fake, throw, hold on to it because he's hard to sack. He's got those big hands so he can hold on the ball even when you hit his arm. And he's always been that guy. I mean, his whole career has been that guy. But now he's not. He goes back there, to your point, gets the ball out. Boom, 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 gets the ball out. So,
do you think sitting some last year kind of helped him watch the game and stuff like that?
Yeah,
I wonder
about
that.
You know, I think that stuff happens. I think there's times when, you know, Steve Spurrier used to say in season, sometimes I'll pull my guy out, not because he's playing all that badly, but it might help him to watch what's going right and wrong in that game plan that he's worked on, that he's practiced. So, no, I think there's some truth. I think there's some truth to that. So, yes, I think there is something. But so having said all that, Jags Steelers, I've said all along, I think this Jags will play them close. They just have a way to, and I'm not going to waffle on that. I'm not going to waver on that opinion. I'm not. But if Sidney Jones doesn't play, and then it is – and by the way, I think they would have started Clay Brooks. We had this talk. I think even with DJ Hayden back there, they're not sure how healthy he is. I mean, he's healthy, how rusty he is. I think they would have started Sidney Jones, Clay Brooks outside. Clay Brooks, I don't know how good a player he's going to be, is really fast, like really fast. Sidney Jones, Clay Brooks outside.
We've seen his speed on special teams.
Correct, and yeah. Herndon in the slot. And then I think they would have – and then if that didn't work out, then they move Herndon outside and play Hayden. So, but now, not now. Now it's pretty obvious. It's going to be Herndon and probably Clay Brooks outside and Hayden in the slot. Herndon, Clay Brooks, Hayden, who's been down a month, against Ben Roethlisberger and Smith-Schuster and Deontay Johnson and Claypool and James whatever.
Washington
pick your guy.
Eric,
I mean, now it's going to be very tough. So it's a tough go. I don't know. Tough go. You better hold the ball for a while.
Yeah, and it's a good thing that they are going to get that great interior pass rush from Taven Bryan.
who will not start the game.
Yeah.
Doug Costin's back to starting.
Yeah, Costin's back there. So so we'll see what he can do. But, it's an utter mismatch. And it was going to be a tough day for him regardless. But, you know, you look at, you know, being down the two corners, and, yeah, I don't know what the Steelers franchise record is for passing yards in a game, but I think Roethlisberger might have a shot at it on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a really tough go for this Jaguar secondary, because even if Sidney Jones plays, how well can he play if he's questionable on Friday with an Achilles? So that certainly makes me nervous. Look, that is the question is, can this pass rush go from second worst in the league to at least somewhat affecting Ben Roethlisberger? The evidence from this season says no, even though they have been playing a little bit better. But with only 9 sacks on the entire season, it's hard to say, oh, yeah, they're going to get to Big Ben and force him to mishandle the ball.
All right, so we got a lot to talk about. By the way, our friends from Relevant are here, Winders here. There's going to be trivia questions. Go on Relevant. They've got some great prizes here. That Duval flag is fantastic, the Duval flag they've got there. You're going to want to see that thing. Great prizes here from Relevant. Go on the or log on to the get on your phone, download the app, get on the Jack Sports Fans vibe, and then go look and see what the trivia questions are. The minute you get one, you got some great, all kind of great presents, right? You saw our tour.
The prizes, yes, absolutely. We've got a lot of good stuff. Some shirts, that flag, like you said, is so great. And if somebody wins that and they're nearby, they can fly that flag on Sunday.
So here comes the trivia, folks. Get on it right now, and you've got some questions coming. By the way, somebody on Relevant said, ask Lauren if she remembers how cold it would get during her BK soccer days when that blue wind blew in off the St. John's. Cold?
Absolutely 100% cold. But the older I get, the more I feel bad for my parents and,
yeah,
and all the other parents.
They were really cold. They were running around.
Because they were just sitting there on the very cold metal bleachers. And I said the other day to my mom, like, well, you always brought blankets, right? She's like, somehow, some way, I think we were not smart enough to bring a blanket ever. And they froze. But yeah, running
kids
around.
Kids are never cold, by the way. Kids don't get cold.
You're right. Kids don't get cold.
Maybe high school kids, but little kids.
Correct.
My kid could go in our, when she was 7 or 8 years old, she could jump in our pool January 3rd when it was 90 degrees below zero, and she would not get cold. In your kids too, probably, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we don't need a jacket. We don't need, yeah.
If kids are having fun, they block all that out.
They really do.
So I have no ability to do
but
that.
But the coldest, I mean, it was always cold with that wind whipping off the river, but I think I've told you the story. The coldest was we played a game at Clay County, and the rain was kind of drizzling, and it was like 33 degrees. That was the coldest game I ever played in.
I'll bet that was cold.
I covered several Bishop Kenny soccer games when I worked at the Times Union. Bone chilling cold.
Yeah.
When
right
throwing,
there on the right there, yeah.
Bone chilling.
By the way, last
so
month,
yes, the answer is I remember that.
No, it probably didn't help that I was in tank top and shorts.
right, that's right.
It was very cold.
Well, in fact, he wears the same tank top and shorts still. Okay, it looks kind of ratty. Last night we were hanging out with our friend Shane at Island Wings, who owns the place. What a wonderful place that is, and we had a big time there. And we went over to the where the doors came up.
Yeah,
the doors came up, and because we wanted it to be nice, it was a little chilly outside. And I think I made the point, it won't bother me because I'm way too tough and macho. But if you cold people want to shut that door, I'm not going to stop you. Okay? Yeah. So it was a little chilly.
But that's what's great about that place is they have the little tables with
you can do whatever,
little fire pits. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Yeah, okay, well, we got a lot more to talk about today. Matt Paulus joins us in just a moment from JOI for the last time. Why do you got any of those trivia questions out there yet? Are there any trivia questions out yet?
I think
yet?
He's presenting the relevant apps.
Oh, sorry.
He's
selling. I don't want to interrupt when he's selling.
That's right.
We're looking for trivia questions. Trivia questions are going down. Put one on app. Put one on right now. Winders is going to be related
to Pittsburgh.
Listen, you're going to get some great prizes, folks. Download the app right now, right? R-E-L-E-V-N-T without the A. Back in a moment with Matt Paulus on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, well, welcome back. We're live here at Pose. We've got some trivia questions from Relevant. Download the app, R-E-L-E-V-N-T, Relevant. Winder's got some good questions out there. One was the Immaculate Reception. It's already been answered. Franco Harris caught it. I think Winder asked who tipped it. Was that one of the questions, too? Well, somebody responded with John Fuqua, okay? That was the first answer. That would be incorrect. Somebody else answered Frenzy Fuqua, which would be correct. Sorry, John Fuqua guy, but you Googled it, okay? Because nobody in his life's ever called him John, so you don't win, okay? You can't win by Googling John Fuqua. That's like legendary baseball manager Joseph Showalter, okay? I think anyone's ever called him Joseph. All right, our last time to visit with Matt Paulus this year, our final JOI Friday night. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Got a big one coming up this weekend, Matt. Are you ready?
Yeah, buddy. I'm excited.
You've waited a long time, haven't you?
3:30, prime time.
3:30 kick for the Badgers. That's exactly right. Hey, a lot of things to get to. Let's talk. You got torso injuries, the last thing we're going to talk about here. But let's take the whole core. If you took shoulders, arms, knees, ankles out of play, that's the way I want to ask this question, Matt. If you took shoulders, arms, you know, wrist, any of that, elbows, and knees, legs, ankles, when that's all out of play, what are the most prominent injuries for a high school athlete?
If you take shoulders, knees, all that out, I would say...
Limbs out.
Yeah, I would say probably not necessarily rib fractures, but some bruises to the core area, I would say.
Okay.
That's probably where I would say that would be. It's an interesting question. I think that's where we would come down on that. And then obviously some sternum bruises from improper tackling, you know, leading with heads and stuff like that. That's something that we also see quite a bit with in the high school athlete.
Matt, we've heard of a lot of guys in the NFL recently have some fractured ribs and then also some punctured lungs. Do those two things go together?
Yes, they can. When a rib breaks, the depending on what level it breaks at, you know, it can poke into the lung. You know, obviously the weird story was,
Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor, thank you. Where the doctor went a little too far in with the needle and basically poked a hole in his lung cavity, so causing that lung to deflate essentially, so it lost the pressurization to keep it inflated. So that's pretty strange. That's a pretty unlikely thing to happen, but obviously, as we've seen it, it can happen. So that was an interesting one. That's kind of what led me to talk about this week is that, and then obviously Drew Brees with all the rib fractures, you know. Sounds really significant how many he's got. So that was just really the inspiration for today's talk.
Matt, do they break the rib injury sort of into quadrants? How does that work?
So the quadrant refers to basically if you're looking at somebody in the core region, you have, you know, four different quadrants for that whole like stomach area. And obviously the right and left upper areas, like right underneath the ribs, are the most problematic areas. On the right-hand side, you have your liver, you have your gallbladder, you have part of your lung comes down there. And then on the left-hand side, you have the spleen, which is often injured in football with hits and stuff. That's on the left-hand side. And also you have another, you know, lobe of your lung comes down in there. So those are typically the right and the upper left quadrants are the most problematic areas, ones you really need to watch out for. And then if you go back to this, the other parts, the right lower is just basically like your appendix area. So usually that's not something you see, you know, from a hit or anything like that. But if a kid's been sick or something like that and they have area and that pain, then you would worry about the appendix. The left lower area is just pretty much intestines and stuff like that. So that's usually not an area you see problems with, but it's definitely the right upper and left upper that you need to worry about, especially in football with hitting.
Matt Paulus with us from JOI. Matt, grown-ups have a heck of a time keeping their core in shape. They may walk or run or jog or lift weights even, but the core is hard. I mean, that's you got to be committed to have your core. What about high school guys? Is that if your core is better, does that help you with injuries, whether it's torso, whether it's rib fractures even, does that sternum bruises, does that play at all, or is that not a factor in there?
Not necessarily for fractures or for bruises, but it definitely can help with, like, say, your baseball players, you know, your volleyball, where they do a lot of twisting while using their upper body or lower body, like soccer even.
Right.
You know, the stronger their core is, the stronger, the better their legs are going to be, their arms are going to be when they hit and kick. The stability of it when they plant to kick. If you have a good core, that transfer of energy through the upper and lower chains are not disrupted as much, and it's a much smoother, less stressful motion on the body in general.
How do you prevent some of these rib and torso injuries, Matt?
Well, you know, obviously proper fitting of pads, you know, so which has gotten better over the years. I don't know, when I played football, it was, I think I played with my brother's uniform stuff from like 20 right. years ago, you know, so obviously making sure that equipment standards are up to date and and properly fitting the pads with each kid. Obviously, for your ones who are vulnerable, like your quarterbacks and stuff like that, you know, wearing a rib protector, you know, if they have an issue with, you know, if they have a like a little bit longer torso, that might be a better thing to wear for sure. Obviously, proper tackling and education, not leading with your head, not only helps the person who's getting hit, but helps prevent injuries for the person tackling the person. And then, lastly, the other thing I was going to talk about was the, you know, with spleen. The spleen can become inflamed when somebody has mononucleosis, so when they're sick in general, and that's a real red flag for a person playing a contact sport. If they have been diagnosed with mono, they definitely need to be sitting out of contact sports for about 6 weeks, because that spleen is enlarged, and when they get hit in that area, they could definitely rupture that, and that's a life-threatening emergency if that does happen.
Matt, final thing here, and it's been a great year with you as always. We have a blast doing this with you, and I appreciate you tolerating us every Friday. It's been fun.
I love it.
Hey, final question before we say goodbye here for the season here. And it's got to be COVID-related, because that's all we're talking about. It seems, by all accounts, and Alan Sills, the director of medicine for the NFL, has pretty much confirmed this, that there's been virtually no cases of somebody getting COVID while playing football, while playing sports. In other words, while being tackled, while being blocked, while being on the soccer field together. Do you agree with that? Does that surprise you? Because that's the one thing people worried about, I don't think's happened at all. What is your take on that?
Right. So obviously, I think what they've learned more over the time of this pandemic is that, you know, at first they thought even if you had somebody just breathe on you a little bit, you could get it. Right. So now more of the science is pointing to it's got to be a little bit longer, prolonged contact with the person in order to be worried about the transmission. So obviously I would think, you know, opposite team, yes, I think that's pretty low risk of that happening, unless you're constantly hitting the same person and pancaking them and landing on top of them and breathing each other's face, you know, repeatedly throughout the game. I don't think that's the issue. I think it's more of the contact outside. How can you determine for sure where somebody got it from with all this contact tracing that's going on? The NFL is a little bit different. Obviously, they have the things that actually track them when they're building, but it doesn't take an effect everything that's going on outside of the facility and at home and kids in school and all these things. So it's hard to quantify whether for sure somebody got it from playing football against another team. I think some of that has been laid to rest as far as a concern, but obviously any prolonged contact, any, you know, spit on the ground, stuff like that, those increase the chances of transmission. So I think that's been low for those reasons, because I think they've been pretty well educating the athletes about these things that they should avoid, and hopefully that's the reason why we're seeing that it's not the game itself that's transferring. I think it's more stuff that's happening outside of the controlled environment of the NFL.
Matt Paul is checking in from JOI. Great work all year, Matt. Go get the Wildcats. It's not going to be easy tomorrow, Matt. I think you're going to win, but I don't think it's going to be easy.
I hate playing there. Their grass is really long, too.
That's by design. Matt Paul, great work all year. Matt, have a great holiday. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks. You too.
Matt Paul is checking in from JOI. Now, talk about big physical players out of the Big Ten. Boy, Devon Hamilton has been that, hasn't he? He may be one of the most, next to James Robinson, the most pleasant surprise. You agree with that?
Yeah, he's been a revelation, particularly these last couple weeks. He's been unblockable, and he is so much fun to watch.
Hayes Carline earlier today with Jaguars nose guard Devon Hamilton.
Devon Hamilton joining us. Devon, first off, I can't wait to meet you in person. It's been crazy in this pandemic. Normally we would be in the locker room and really getting to know you guys. It's been obviously a crazy year for the world. So I just wanted to start off by saying, man, can't wait to meet you in person. I have enjoyed watching you play so far, and really appreciate you taking the time to join us following Friday's practice.
No problem.
How's everything going? How was the week for you?
It was pretty good for us. I mean, I feel like I really got prepared for this week pretty well, and I feel like I'm ready to go.
How's your family doing? Everybody hanging in there?
Yeah, they're all doing fine, just relaxing in Columbus, Ohio.
Is in? Are you by yourself down here?
No, my girlfriend is down here with me.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Awesome. How long have you guys dated?
I want to say 3.5 years now.
Oh, all right. Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. How are you guys enjoying Jacksonville?
It's been pretty good. You know, we're not used to it being so warm all year round. I'm used to right now having a lot of snow on the ground or being real windy or whatever. Yeah. Columbus weather.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's congratulations on your start to your career. Really, the last few weeks, you've been dazzling to watch, and it's been fun listening to Doug and Todd talk about your progress. How do you think you've been able to acclimate so far to playing at the NFL level?
I feel like I've been able to acclimate very well. I mean, I feel like college has prepared me a lot for this, you know, playing at a very big college where every game is very important. So, and going against the competition we did. So, I mean, I feel like that's prepared me a lot. And then also just my my coaches and my teammates, they've been very helpful in this process for me to be developing and really learning out there on the field.
Has there been a key in terms of why your play is seemingly really picked up? I mean, you've been good from the start, but the last couple weeks, it seems like you've almost been unblockable at times. Has there been a key in you taking that big step forward, in your opinion?
I mean, honestly, I've just been really focusing on just going out there and having fun, really. I mean, I feel like that's just the main basis of why anybody plays football to begin with. So I feel like bringing that back into the game now and really just focusing on just being the best you can be and having fun out there is really the big key for me. I feel like to been able to develop this much and be able to play as well as I have in the last couple of weeks.
A sack against Aaron Rodgers last week. What was that like?
It was pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm not, my first time meeting him, you know, being a rookie and being able to play in these games and meet some of the legends that you grew up watching is just kind of ridiculous, you know, just being able to stand there in person and meet them, you know. It's definitely different than in college, for sure.
I'm curious, did you happen to hear what Doug said about you on Monday, by chance, about your intelligence?
I did not.
Okay, it was really funny, because obviously he's an offensive line guy, and he was like, I asked him about you, and he said, you know, the thing about Devon is he's so smart, and he said he was joking. He's like, that's just kind of uncommon among defensive linemen, and he was, you know, sort of joking from that offensive line perspective. But how do you feel like your intelligence has helped you, you know, become a playmaker at this level as a rookie?
I do what I have to do throughout the week to be able to understand different formations and be able to understand how offensive linemen want to attack you or this, that, and the other. And I feel like it's a big part of my game, and it should be everybody else's, you know.
Right. And what's kind of – have you gotten into a routine with your weekly preparation? And can you kind of give the fans a little bit of an idea in terms of, you know, how you kind of go about preparing for the opponent throughout the week?
First and foremost, I try to take care of my body as much as possible. So I try to be in the training room as much as possible throughout the week. I feel like that's the most important thing, is to get your body ready to go. And then also from the mental side of things, I try to watch, at least start off the week, just watching all the run game and then how I can be effective in the pass game. And then that kind of making that progress throughout the week and then trying to put it all together at the end, right before the game, just to be as prepared as possible.
Devon, what stands out about Pittsburgh's offensive line?
They're a very physical, older veteran group, so I feel like this is going to be a very big challenge for us, just being so young up front, and I feel like that's just the main challenge for us.
And what about Roethlisberger? You obviously got a sack on Aaron Rodgers last week, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Roethlisberger's going to be in the Hall of Fame, so another big opportunity for you on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure.
What stands out about Roethlisberger?
He's been able to be in the league this long. You know, he's a legendary quarterback and hopefully a Hall of Famer there. So, I mean, he's just a special type of guy that's been able to last this long in the league, and that's just really the most important part about that.
Devon, who are you next to in the locker room?
Next to, like,
yeah,
physically?
Who's your lockers next to?
Jawan.
Okay. What's that been like getting to know him?
It's been pretty good. You know, I talked to him a little bit before I actually got here in Jacksonville, so he's been trying to help me out, you know, kind of understand how rookie year goes and that type of thing. So I've really been able to pick his mind about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, Juwan's been fantastic, and Josh Allen as well, two second-year players. What's it been like getting to, you know, be teammates with Josh Allen and see how he goes about his business?
It's been great. You know, Josh is really definitely a different type of guy when it comes to his preparation and how he goes about certain things, and it's very helpful for me to, like, pick up little tips and this, that, and the other about something I might not have seen in film or, like, might not see it on the field that you might want to be, you know, kind of looking at to be able to put yourself in the right position to make plays and this, that, and the other. So he's been really helpful in that sense.
I know you guys are sort of compartmentalized. Offense kind of does their thing. Defense kind of does their thing. But I'm curious, you're classmates with Jake Luton. You're in the same draft class. What have you seen out of Jake these last few weeks as he's been the starting quarterback?
Honestly, just trying to be as consistent as possible and try to improve every week. I feel like he's really been able to do that. And this preparation he put in before he was even playing or anything like that has just been really remarkable to see. Especially, I mean, if I'm seeing it, you know, as a defensive lineman, it's just speaking to him as a player as well.
Devon, what's been the mental challenge for you in terms of, obviously, you never really lost in college. I don't know about, I'm assuming in high school you probably didn't really either. What's been the challenge for you, you know, in an 8-game losing streak to maintain that professionalism and focus and not let yourself get down by the record?
I mean, honestly, as much as the record is, like, as important as it is for us, I mean, really, honestly, I don't really think about it. I mean, it's really just about my teammates and how hard we play out there and how hard we can finish and how hard, you know, we fight and compete out there, you know. I mean, that's really what it is for me. I mean, win, loss, or whatever, I love to win, you know. That's really the top priority. But just overall, just being able to go out there and, you know, perform at the top, the best level we can, that's really what we can only can focus on.
Your Buckeyes are looking pretty good.
Yeah, they are.
what was Justin Fields like last year? What was it like playing with him?
Honestly, he was like you said, he's a quarterback, and I'm on the defensive line. We talked a lot. He's a real chill guy. He's a real relaxed, laid back type of guy, which most people probably don't think, you know, being a star quarterback at a big school like that. So it's kind of cool. It was kind of cool to be able to meet him and really understand how he goes about things.
Do you still watch Ohio State when you can on Saturdays?
Yeah, I got to. You know, my brother plays there.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fantastic. So what have you seen out of Fields this year? Because now, obviously, you're studying NFL quarterbacks. Do you see the skill set that Justin has that, you know, leads you to believe that he can not only start but maybe be really, really good in this league?
Definitely. I mean, I feel like he's a very dynamic guy. He's a very smart guy, first and foremost. He's able to throw the ball. He's able to make those type of passes. And also, he's able to make plays with his feet as well. So that makes him very dynamic as a quarterback and as just a football player in general. It makes it difficult on defenses. And once he gets in the league, I really don't see him having any issues, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. He looks phenomenal. I got to ask you, do you have a sack dance celebration coming up on Sunday or anything planned, a turnover or anything like that that we can look forward to on Sunday?
You guys won't have to just see.
That sounds great. Well, Devon, man, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. And once again, I'm looking forward to, once this pandemic is behind us, being able to shake your hand and get to know you. And certainly it's been a lot of fun watching your Jaguars career. And we're looking forward and excited about seeing where it goes from here.
Appreciate it.
All right, Devon, have a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
You too.
I promise I requested Devon Hamilton to ask him about Devon Hamilton,
right.
But I couldn't resist asking him about Justin Fields.
That was really good. I'm telling you, what a find. Everybody knows James Robinson's a find because they can see him. He's got the ball. This guy is a real find for them. This was a really good draft pick, Devon Hamilton, the nose guard. All right, we've got another question coming on Relevant. Download the Relevant app, R-E-L-E-V-N-T. The next question is going to be, well, I'm not going to tell you. You got to go, but it's a good one. It's not an easy one. It's coming up right now. Some great Jaguars prizes coming if you get it right. Back in a moment with Pete Prisco to talk NFL football. Stay with us.
Time for all things Jaguars and NFL with Pete Prisco. The Prisco Report, presented by Showtime Sports Cards and Collectibles.
Showtime.
On the Frangie Show.
It is great to welcome in Pete Prisco, always brought to you by Showtime Sports Cards and Collectibles. They've got a two-day in-store card show coming up on the 27th and 28th. That is next week. Man, is it going to be good. 2 days, the day after Thanksgiving and the day after that, 9 a.m. to 4 both days, 15 vendors on hand each day. If you're a collector, that's the day to get there, folks. I'm telling you, a two-day in-store card show, Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and the day after that, 9 to 4, 15 different vendors on hand each day. Don't miss that. Head to Showtime Sports Cards and Collectibles next Friday and Saturday, a week from today and the day after that, to get the best you can imagine from these shows. Showtime is located on Phillips Highway at the end of Shad Road. Pete Prisco joins us now. Peter, how are you, man?
Good, guys. How are you?
We are doing well. You called it with the Steelers. They are my old team, and I followed them so closely before. I know them now because they're always on TV, but I don't know them the way I did, so I probably didn't know them as well as you do. They're really good. They're coming here to play the Jaguars, and you hit every point. You used the word complete to describe them, gosh, probably 6 weeks ago. They're really complete, aren't they, Pete?
They really are. And you know, Ben Roethlisberger's starting to play better, too. It took him a little while to get going. He wasn't driving the ball down the field, but he's now doing that. They have their traditional good receivers. The offensive line hasn't been as good, but it's good enough, and it will get better. They've had some injuries up there. They haven't run the ball as well, which is a little concerning, and I know they want to get that going. But defensively, they're nasty. I mean, that front seven can get after the quarterback. They're good with the down players are good. And they can run to the football. It's a tough defense. It's a good team. And right now they've earned the spot to be number one in the league.
Pete, if you're Jay Gruden, how are you attacking the Steelers' defense?
Ball has to come out quickly. I think that's first and foremost. Those two guys, T.J. Watt and Dupree, can both rush the passer. And so the ball has to get out quick. I know everybody wants to see some shots down the field, but this team can really rush the passer. And I thought the Jaguars' tackles had a little bit of problems last week in Green Bay, so it'll be interesting to see how he handles it. But I think ball has to come out quickly, and you don't want to have a guy sitting back there, sitting duck with that defense.
Pete, do the Steelers have a chance at 16-0, in your opinion?
When you look at the schedule, they do. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. They definitely do. It's amazing when you look at it and see how the schedule plays out. You know, Thursday night will be big for them. Thursday night will be big because they play the Ravens on Thursday night, and that's a tough division, but a tough divisional game. But they handled them last time, and I think they'll handle them this time. So, yeah, to answer your question, yes, they do. Those Miami Dolphins aren't going to be happy about it either.
Pete, the Jags are down some more players. C.J. Henderson on IR now. There's a chance they won't have Sidney Jones, I suppose. He was listed today as questionable with an Achilles thing. When you hear Achilles with him, that scares you because everybody knows he tore the Achilles before the draft. How tough is it then, man, against all those receivers and Ben playing great? And now, I mean, oh, boy, this might feel even tougher than last week when you played Aaron Rodgers because of the weather, right?
The weather, and you got a flat team. That was a definite flat team last week in Green Bay, and it took them a while to get going. But, you know, if you don't have Sidney Jones and C.J. Henderson, you got big problems in the passing game. I mean, that's big problems because you don't rush the passers well enough to neutralize that. So that's going to be a problem. But, again, I go back to what I say every week. It's about evaluating younger players. It's about getting better, which I think we saw progress there last week. Guys like Hamilton. He proved that he's going to be a building block for this team. Miles Jack is playing as good as any linebacker in the league. Henderson did some good things. Sidney Jones did last week as well. The young safety made some plays. I think that's the most important thing, and fans don't want to hear that, but that's the reality. Make those guys grow. As the season plays on, make them continue to grow, and then those guys will be a big part of what you do next year.
And the disappointing thing for me, Pete, is it's another week without Laviska Shenault, the wide receiver, who I think they did build a lot of things in the playbook around, and he's not going to be able to give it a go.
Yeah, and you'd love to see him out there because he's a young guy that needs the reps and needs the work. It doesn't seem like it's a serious injury, just more of a nagging thing. And so I think they'll get him back at some point, but you'd like to see him get as many snaps as possible because he needs the work. He's a young receiver, and we know how young receivers sometimes struggle to identify coverages, and the more you're out there, the faster you play. So that one hurts a little bit because he is going to be a part of what they do going forward.
Pete, what does a good game from Jake Luton look like in your opinion?
You know, it's interesting. I thought he did some really good things last week and did some not-so-good things, which you expect. The guy's a rookie quarterback making his first start on the road. You look across the stadium and you see Aaron Rodgers. He's going to have some you know, jitters, and then, you know, the wind. I mean, the wind was a factor. The weather wasn't great. I thought for the most part he handled himself pretty well. This week, if he gets to 20 points, he's had a great, great day, because that's a really good defense. And if they get to 20 points, I think they'll look back and say, you know what, that Luton kid stood in there, he took some shots, and he made throws.
Pete, let's go around the league a little bit. If I know you like I think I do, you don't love the Taysom Hill starting over Jameis thing. Am I right or wrong?
No, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. He's nothing but you guy's a gimmick. You should be playing wide receiver. You know, and I've actually, going back a couple of years, I had conversation with Sean Payton about him, and he was raving about him even then. And I'm like, I don't see it. I just don't see him playing quarterback. And he thought then that he could be his quarterback of the future. You know, everybody kills Jameis, and Jameis turned the ball over a bunch in Tampa Bay. But if you go back and look at his numbers, look at how many throws he made playing from behind, and playing from behind 7+. When you play that way, you're going to turn the ball over. And in no way, no world, no way, shape, or form is Taysom Hill a better quarterback than Jameis Winston. That's just stupidity, and I can't wait to see it play out.
Pete, were you surprised at all that the Seahawks won last night? Because you had predicted the Cardinals would, right?
I did, and, you know, one thing about the Seahawks, their defense is getting better. And, you know, that they were so bad early in the season, and Russell Wilson carried them for the early part of the season. And then he started turning the ball over, I think because he was pressing too much because the defense was so bad. But, you know, picking up Dunlop has helped them. I mean, he gives them a nice edge rush presence. I think some of the down players are playing much better than they were early in the season. And they pieced together the secondary. They were down both starting corners last night, and that seemed to, you know, really not impact them in a big way. So, yeah, I was surprised, and I got to give them credit because the schedule's favorable now. They'll probably end up as the 3 seed in the NFC.
Pete, what do you think we'll see out of Raiders-Chiefs Sunday night?
You know, the whole thing with the bus, and I'm sure you guys heard all about that. I mean, my gosh, can we take something and make it magnify it into something bigger than it is? I mean, that's what that is. You know the story. After the Raiders beat them last time, the bus driver must have made a comment, and they made him drive around the stadium. Well, the Chiefs have taken that as an insult and a slight, and they were celebrating and rubbing it in their faces. So now the Chiefs are going to go there and play harder, I guess. That's the one thing I never believed. Why, if you're playing a division rival who beat you early in the year, scored 40 on you earlier in the year, and now you're playing at their place in their brand-new stadium in a key division game, you need a bus ride to motivate you? If that's the case, there's something wrong with you. So I can't wait to see that game. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. The Raiders' defense has improved, but that's Patrick Mahomes, and I think Derek Carr is going to score some points as well. That could be a fun division game, but don't believe all the hype about the bus going around.
Last thing, Pete, Rams-Bucks on Monday night. Who you like?
I think it's going to be really tight. The Rams' defense is good, and remember, last time we saw Tommy Brady on primetime, he was moping around after series number one. 3 and out, moping, bad body language. Then he took a beating, he played awful. I think this Rams defense can get after him a little bit. I do think the Bucs will find a way to win a really, really close one. By the way, the schedule maker hasn't been kind to the Rams. They've come to the East Coast 4 times now. 4! Think about that. That's incredible. They're beating them up, and last time they were in Florida, they got destroyed by Miami. It will be a much closer game this time around.
Pete Prisco checking in from CBSSports.com, as always, brought to you by Showtime Sports Cards and Collectibles. Pete, we appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. And once again, let me remind you, Showtime next week, Friday and Saturday, a week from today, and the day after that, the 27th and 28th, they are going to have 2-day indoor or in-store card shows. 15 vendors. Man, oh, man, if you're a collector, don't miss that one. Friday and Saturday a week from today. When we come back, our picks are next. Live from Posen. Go on Relevant now. More questions coming up. RELEVNT. Download the app today. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, we're live at Posen. More trivia going out there. Download the app. RELEVNT. Relevant. Man, some good prizes are going away here and some good trivia questions. This one might be a little more Jaguar-related coming up right now. So,
all I have to say is people are smart when it comes to trivia.
Yeah,
think they're Googling. I just think they're smart.
I think they're both. Okay, but I think they're they're smart. You got to be smart to be good on Google. You know what? Hey, come on with them. So there you go. There's some fun questions coming up, so you need to get on Relevant right now. All right, time for our picks now. Before we fire up the music. Let me give you the standings. After last week, the pick standings.
Is this your favorite time of the week?
It is. I am in first place, 39-21, 18 games over, 47 total points. Lauren, a narrow second place margin over Gibby, 36-24, 42 points. Gibby, 35-25, 41 points. Hayes Carline, he's from the bowl school, is bringing up the rear, but he's made a move lately, okay? 31-29, 37 total points. Gibby, some college music, please. Ah, is that good? That's my favorite part of the week.
That is it.
Let's get right to it. All right, I'll give you an SEC game from the CBS. Lauren Brooks, she does Zoom calls with totally wet hair. LSU at Arkansas, who do you like?
First of all, I wouldn't have known if you were going to comment about my wet hair all day today. Yeah. Or had I known you were going to comment about my wet hair all day today, I would have made adjustments.
Kind of a momentum thing.
I'm going to go with Arkansas. I think even though LSU is favored in this game, it's just by a point. I'm not sure how good TJ Finley is. I think he's got some promise, but I do think the Arkansas defense is pretty good, even though they didn't necessarily show it against Florida, but that's because Florida's offense is a juggernaut. Felipe Franks and Arkansas get it done.
Andrew Gibson.
Yeah, I like Arkansas here, though I did think about this one a little bit. I just like the way Arkansas really competed in that first half against Florida last week. Felipe Franks came back a few times, but Florida pulled away in that game. I like Arkansas here.
Hayes Carlisle.
I'm going to say that LSU finally rises up and plays with some pride and gets a victory. So give me the Bayou Bengals, please.
Can't be a game picker-upper because I'm coming with you. LSU and TJ Finley on the road. I'll take the Bengal Tigers, too. So we're 2-2 there. Gibby, Pitt plays at home against Virginia Tech. Who do you like?
Let me have Virginia Tech in this game. I think the Hokies win.
Va Tech on the road. Hayes Carlisle.
I'm going to go with Pitt. I think Pitt's better in the trenches, and I will go with the Panthers.
I'm going my quarterback again, Lauren. I'm going to take Pitt Panthers at home as
well. Wow.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett.
Kenny, come on, Kenny Pickett. I didn't remember his name. Come on, Kenny Pickett.
you
screwed me so many times.
That's why I'm honestly shocked you're going with Pitt. I'm going to go Va Tech. Thank you very much. The only problem is Gibby and I are tied, and we've both picked the same two games.
Oklahoma plays at home against Oklahoma State. The Cowboys are 14th. The Sooners are 18th, but I'm going to go with the home team here. I'll take Boomer Sooner, Hayes Carlisle.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Sooners as well. My good buddy Greg Sinner is a big Sooner, and he told me that in his life, every time Oklahoma State is getting all the hype, that's the year OU kills them. Oklahoma State's getting the hype. I'm going to go with Greg Sinner and say Boomer Sooner.
Lauren Brooks from St. Michael's Middle School, where she was. Don't worry about it. Go ahead.
Spencer Rattler has been playing better. I'm going to go with Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
I'm sure Coxons, though, have a lot of wet hair.
I was going to ask, if Coxons lean back while yelling, does the hair get wet?
I'm sure it
that
does.
Could be. That's what I thought. Gibby.
I am so tempted. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to go game picker-upper and pick Oklahoma State.
All right.
Go game picker-upper.
Pokes
Oklahoma State. The Pokes on the road.
Gibby. So we didn't get App State, Coastal Carolina.
We did not. I didn't think to. I don't think we knew other than Gibby.
Gibby,
sure
I'm taking App State.
All right. Good
and
for you.
And the cool helmet. Did you see the helmets, Gibby?
Yeah, the uniforms are fantastic. The video department did a great job, too.
Give me some NFL music, Gibby. Let's change gears here to the National Football League.
Tell you what, we're going to have some movement this week.
Yeah, we'll be some. That was kind of the idea. Yeah. Lauren Brooks, Colts at home against the Packers.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Packers, even though they were listless a week ago against the Jaguars. I think they bounce back, and Aaron Rodgers is tired of hearing that he barely beat the Jags.
Hey, Carlisle.
I'm going to go with the Colts. If the Jaguars can beat the Packers in a street fight, I know the Colts can, and I'll say they get it done at home.
You said Colts.
I will take the Colts.
Colts.
I'm
going to go Packers on the road. I'm coming with Brooks on this one. Andrew Gibson.
Yeah, I think the Packers step up in this game. Also, keep in mind, this was a game that was actually flexed. It was a 1 o'clock, now a 4:25 game. So getting more and more national exposure for this one. I'll take the Pack.
Game picker-upper for Hayes Carlisle from the Moss Pit
Grill.
Gibby, kick us off here. The Ravens at home against the Titans. Who do you like?
I know the Ravens lost last week against the Patriots, but if you guys watched that game, it was an absolute downpour. Just didn't – not great conditions. I like the Ravens in this game.
The Ravens at home, says Andrew Gibson, from Appalachian State with the very, very cool helmets, Hayes Carlisle.
I'm going to go with the Ravens as well. I think they bounce back, and I just can't pick the Titans.
Lauren Brooks.
I've got the Ravens, too. Look, I know the Titans beat the Ravens in the playoffs thanks to a lot of Derrick Henry, but I don't think that's going to repeat.
Somebody's got to go game picker-upper here.
There we go.
Honors.
Look alive.
The Titans are game picker-upper. And I am going to make this. I know, Hayes, you want me to change, and I will eventually, but I couldn't find one I loved with regional ties. So this is the money ball. Jags at home against the Steelers. Hayes, who do you like?
I like the Steelers, Frank. Yeah, I think I like the Steelers a lot in this one. I will say Steelers 38, Jaguars 14.
Lauren Brooks, who's just about tired of me talking about her wet hair, who do you like?
You can talk about my wet hair as much as you would like. It's way better than what some people have done on Zoom in order to get suspended and or fired this 2020. I will go with the Steelers, as a matter of fact. I like the Jaguars, but the Steelers are going to win the ball game. Look, they're just too good. That's the bottom line. They are good in every phase. Yeah, they don't maybe run the ball that well. That's their only weakness. But you know what? When Roethlisberger's throwing 3 and 4 touchdowns to no interceptions the last few games, they're going to come in here, unfortunately. And I like very close to Hayes' score, but I'm going to say 38-21.
Former leadoff batter for the Murphy High baseball team, Andrew Gibson. Who do you like here?
The Jaguars don't have C.J. Henderson. They may not have Sidney Jones. You know, the Steelers going up in this game against the Jags have a tremendous passing attack, as we know. I'm taking the Steelers. 11 wide receivers have had either 84 yards or a touchdown this year against the Jaguars. I think the Steelers' offense rolls.
All right, Frank, do it. Do it.
You know what? You know what? Since you're daring me, you don't believe I'll do it, I'll take the Steelers. So I'll take the Steelers.
Just saying, because you had the gut feeling it might be close.
I wish there was, like, both cornerbacks were going to play. Yeah. You know, I still think they play them tough because they tend to play them tough. But here are our picks. One more time, our picks look like this. LSU, Arkansas. Gibby and Lauren both like Arkansas. LSU is the pick of both Hayes and me. Virginia Tech, Pitt, same thing. Gibby and Lauren like Va Tech. Hayes and I like the Pitt Panthers. Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. Gibby's got the game picker up, or he likes the Cowboys on the road. The three of us like the Sooners. Packers, Colts. Hayes Carlion has the game picker-upper. He's got the Colts winning at home. The rest of us like the Packers on the road. Ravens and Titans, I'll do the honors. Game picker-upper for me, I like the Titans on the road. Those three guys, like Ingirl, like the Ravens at home, and we all think the Steelers will beat the Jaguars. Those are our picks coming up one more time. 47 points for me, 42 for Lauren Brooks, 41 for Andrew Gibson. 37 for Hayes Carlion. Those are our picks. How do you feel about your picks?
I feel great about my picks. I would be shocked if I don't go 6-0.
Yeah, you have a good
6-0.
Feeling. Yeah,
he's
got a
feeling.
Coming. I like a guy with a feeling. How do you feel about your picks?
I feel really good. I did a lot of research in the break.
If you'd have blown dry your hair today, would your picks have not been as good?
Or does
the wet hair help?
I have a bad week, you're then going to blame it on the wet hair.
Yeah, well, or if you have a good week, I'm going to blame it on the wet hair. So I think either way, I think I'm gonna give it credit and blame. So there you go. So all right, those are our picks. We have 1 segment to go. We'll take a break. We'll be back for one more segment live from Pose after this on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Hear that song, you know we are close to the weekend, of course, here at Pose. Brought to you by our friends at Relevant. The weekend is already here. By the way, real quick, what we didn't mention, that Virginia Tech Pitt game, the players in that game are required to wear masks while playing. I found that really interesting due to a new rule in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that looks. They'll wear gaiters, I would think, not ear masks. But
Does that affect the Steelers playing here?
I think only if the game's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're making – even if the game was there, I don't think they would mandate that yet. But I think that's probably coming. I think it's almost a test case. And if it works, then I think all teams, high school and pro college, will all wear them in Pennsylvania. Today's 1010 Take is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. Peace of mind is only a click or a phone call away. I'll say it one more time. It makes no – the Steelers are going to beat the Jags, I think. But I think the Jags, no matter who they're playing, will play with a toughness against Pittsburgh because they typically do. This series is 14-12. The Jags lead it. It's 12-12 in the regular season. The Jags have won both postseason games. The Steelers have only once gone north of 30 against the Jaguars. Only one time in the history of the series have they gone north of 30 against the Jaguars. That was when they lost 45-42 in a playoff game a few years back. And the truth of the matter is the score was even more pronounced than that. I think the Jags are going to beat the I think the Steelers are going to beat the Jags, but I think the Jags hang around in this game. I think they play with a toughness. I think they're playing better. With all the defensive backs hurt, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to win the game because the Steelers are going to score some points in this game. But somehow, some way, I don't think they run them out of the gym. That is a 10-10 take.
10-10 take.
I think they run them out of the gym. I think that Tomlin is going to have the Steelers ready for this one. I think there's enough bad blood from the 2017 loss that the Steelers are not taking this game lightly. I think when they turned on the film and saw what happened to Green Bay last week, I think that woke them up. And again, I go back to this Steelers team has done something no other Steelers team has, and that has to mean something to you. You cannot sleepwalk and lose this record. To me, it's just an insult to all the great Steeler players that have come before and didn't get to 9-0. So I think the Steelers come here with a vengeance. I think they're just much better on paper, and I think that'll translate, and I think this game is over with 10 minutes left in the game.
I think the game might be over before 10 minutes left in the game, but here's a question for you guys. Do you think, of all players, Miles Jack is especially fired up for this one because he was on that 2017 team and that defense was so incredibly good? He knows what it's like to see Ben Roethlisberger super frustrated.
Yeah, I think that.
Am I reaching?
A little, but I like it. I like the reach because that's kind of what we do sometimes in games like this. I hear you. I think Miles just wants to get through the season and hope by next year there's some of the young defensive players have improved, some new life there. But he's certainly a guy that's not intimidated by the game. To your point, one thing about Miles Jack, he has become a leader. He's playing like a leader. He's become a better player than he's ever been in my mind. He's playing in a natural position where he can fly around. I just think it's hard. This game's going to be very hard. Look, I mean, there's a possibility that when they start the game, it's going to be Chris Claybrooks at one corner. It's going to be Trey Herndon at the other corner. Okay, it's going to be DJ Hayden off of IR at the nickel. It's Daniel Thomas, a rookie from Auburn, in one of the safety spots. Oh, boy. That is against Claypool and obviously Juju and all those guys. Eric Ebron. That's a lot of guys, man. Deontay Johnson and Ben Roethlisberger, who's playing at his best level. It's going to be hard for the Jaguars to win that game. I keep saying they're going to hang around. Be hard for them to win that game. And, again, I hate to say this. Nobody wants to say there's moral victories. And, again, the only teams that can have moral victories are teams that aren't good teams. You can't be a good team and have a moral victory. You just can't. It doesn't work that way. But I think the Jaguars can gain something from these young players playing better. I thought that last week. I think it again this week.
Yeah, and, again, I think moral victory is where this franchise is because you want to lose. I mean, you're better off losing right now than you are winning. You're better off losing and getting closer to Justin Fields, possibly closer to Trevor Lawrence. Hopefully they have 7 more moral victories, and that's where it goes. That's what you want to see. Play good, see some small victories from some individual efforts, but lose the game. And this week I don't think we're going to get much of a scare in that regard.
Yeah, like you said, the scare. The last 2 weeks I have been on pins and needles thinking the Jaguars might win towards the end of the game. And as much as I normally would like that feeling, recently that has not been good. I wonder if Devon Hamilton, when you asked him, Hayes, about Justin Fields, was thinking, gosh, I hope he's in a Jaguars uniform next year. I'm just not going to say that. But I wonder if he was thinking it.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to think so. And Devon Hamilton, I mean, you need to see, to Frank's point, you need to see 3 or 4 more Devon Hamilton stories rise up. And maybe we'll start to see that Sunday. I'm really disappointed in Chenault. Not in him,
that he's not able
but
to
just
play.
His situation.
And that
yeah,
was a concern.
And it's a hamstring, which it just seems like, and maybe this is how it is around the league, but gosh, it just seems like any time a Jaguar receiver gets a hamstring, you can triple the amount of time that they think they'll be out. And, with Viska initially, it was like, yeah, we're encouraged with the MRI, and now he's missed 2 games. And so, you start to worry a little bit about, how long is he going to be out for? Because, again, he's somebody that I think if he was playing would be showing us that that he is a real part of that offensive core.
And Marone did say today they're hopeful C.J. Henderson will return from IR and play more this season. He's not done for the season, hopefully.
Get to college for a second. How about those – you talked about it the other day, Lauren. How about those noon kicks? Indiana, Ohio State, which would be a lock-in game for me, in large, because it's a good game and because of the Justin Fields thing if the Gators weren't playing then. Clemson at FSU, I'm always interested in watching the Noles. That's noon. Those two games are both noon. Florida at Vanderbilt is noon, as you know. You know who's not watching any of those three? Can I tell you one person that's not even going to look at one of those three? Andrew Gibson from Murphy, North Carolina. Because, Andrew, right. What are you going to be watching at noon, bro?
I got to watch and see what Coastal Carolina is going to try to do against my Mountaineers of App State.
Mountaineers on the road at Coastal. Okay, yeah. They're going to Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach, yeah. That's okay. A pretty good trip.
I know where you're going to be, but the Mountaineers are going to Myrtle Beach. Okay,
I'm excited. I think you guys are going to spank them. Gibby.
Has Coastal Carolina been ranked in the top 25 in your lifetime before this year?
I've never heard of them.
Okay.
I had never heard of them in baseball until you looked up, and they won the College World Series.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they won the college. I don't mean they had a good year and made a regional. They won the regional. They won the super. They got to Omaha and won the College World Series. That, by the way, people don't follow college baseball. That's bigger than Villanova.
Yeah, that's Hoosiers.
That's really Hoosiers. I mean, Coastal Carolina.
Florida State doesn't have one of those.
No. I mean, think about that. Yeah. And Florida didn't have one when Coastal won it.
Right.
Think about that for a second. So, I mean, Coastal Carolina won it. So we'll see. But those are pretty good games at noon. Lauren Brooks, will you DVR Ohio State?
I already have Ohio State and Florida State recorded.
Okay. You too?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Nah, probably not. I feel pretty good about good old Justin. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. But I probably won't go back and watch Justin Fields.
Yeah. I'll DVR FSU. I don't know, but I thought about it. I'm probably not going to DVR.
I'm planning for a new quarterback.
But I will tell you.
And I want to see more than just highlights. I want to see the game.
But if they weren't playing, opposite, sure. I absolutely would watch them. Yeah, I without a doubt would.
I feel robbed because Ohio State didn't get to play Maryland last week, so I've gone a week without getting to see Justin Fields.
This is I'm trying to look through the schedule. There's not much at night, is there? I'm trying to think. Tennessee Auburn do anything for you? Not much. We're
not
SEC guys,
much, but yeah, because I mean, it's an SEC
game, and that means it's the law that you watch it. Yeah, you know, exactly. So, but you got to follow the
little
law.
Scouting report.
I'll be playing Bunko, so whatever they have on.
Whoa!
Defending the title.
Saturday night Bunko defending the title.
Hold on a second. How are we finding out about this
at 4:43?
Yeah, I mean,
because we were a little too focused on the wet hair.
Somebody from the Associated Press is fired. Okay,
right.
And that story didn't.
Friendsgiving
move.
Bunko moved.
Why?
Friendsgiving, they like it on Saturday because it's more of like a feast, and you don't want to rush that on a Friday.
Okay. Is that really the reason? Because the word on the street is that you needed a day to get the blow dryer fixed. That's not.
My hair is dry now.
But that's tomorrow. I mean, I didn't know if you knew, so I didn't know if you needed that.
That doesn't make sense. Really, it's already dry. Okay, so it's moved, and it's great because we get to hang out here at Pose. I don't have to rush off to Bunko. So tomorrow, 6 o'clock, the dice will be rolling, and hopefully I will bring home the victory.
Is this the one we crash or no? We've been talking about it for a long time.
I think it might be.
This might be the one. Yeah.
You won't be missing much in the way of football like we just discussed.
This might be the one we crashed. Can you keep knocking on the door? Is it your mom's house or a friend's house?
It's not. It's at a friend's house.
They'll be going, someone at the door? what's going on? Someone at the door. Lauren goes, I think I better get it. And Seal, the nicest person of all time, will be going, Lauren, is that Frank? And Lauren will be going, let me handle this, right?
She'll say, hey, Frank.
Yes.
It's so good to see you, but you're still not allowed in.
Even Seal, the nice person in the world, would probably kind of run me out of there. Yeah, there's no question.
That is correct. You guys are watching the game at a friend's house tomorrow, right?
We're going to go watch it. We have this little group that watches all the Florida games together. And this year we're able to do that because there's no travel. There's no Jags travel. So our group that watches all the Gator games together. Well, the big week isn't. The big week's next week, okay? The big week's next week when we crash a place, okay? I don't know what if you bring, you know what, who's those groups that you bring in that totally clean a place, like when you're moving out.
Oh, I thought you were thinking like Biohazard.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Okay. Yeah. But what's the one on Beach Boulevard? They used to be a sponsor.
Stanley Steamer.
No, it's one two wonderful guys. Herb was the dad, and Mike, and it's a wonderful Process Master.
Oh, okay.
probably need to call across this national on Sunday. Let me just say one. And they've been,
ready.
And they're probably going to have to bring two or three trucks.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, that's not one you want to call at the last minute, okay?
Yeah.
Because I've already told Carline, he's got the new place. I'm so crashing the new place.
Yeah, and I can understand that you've got the big, big new TV, and that's going to be on display for everybody, which is exciting. We have to take a look at the injuries, right? We've got Jaguars Steelers on Sunday. Gibby, take it away.
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
We begin with the NFL's only left unbeaten, the Pittsburgh Steelers at 9-0 come into Jacksonville on Sunday, and they're getting healthier, and that sounds pretty scary. Mike Hilton, their veteran cornerback, has been out a few games with a shoulder injury. It looks like he's going to play against the Jaguars on Sunday. That's pretty much the most notable injury for the Steelers. For the homestanding Jacksonville Jaguars, we've talked about it today. Laviska Shenault Jr. will miss his second game with a hamstring injury. James O'Shaughnessy out with a knee injury. Three are questionable: Gardner Minshew, Colin Johnson, and Sidney Jones.
Well done. That's good. Not only are they coming in 9-0 and the Jags 1-8, but the Jags are beat up on the week they start to get healthy.
Yeah.
If there's not enough going on, the Steelers are starting to get healthy. We're almost out of time. It's still going to be a fun day. Love it when there's a home game. Back-to-back home games, which is kind of nice. I'll be interested in the crowd to see I hope Jaguar fan shows up now, because you know Steeler fan's going to show up with the towel. So hopefully Jaguar fan has bought tickets for this thing. Hopefully the Jaguar fan is going to show up at this game. And I'm interested in Luton. I'm interested in how he plays. So a lot to talk about coming up in that next week all about it. One final thought before we get out of here. What does Trask need to do tomorrow to keep this train moving at the same pace?
I think he needs at least 4 touchdown passes, because that's sort of the streak that everybody is sort of latched onto, is that he is owning this record of consecutive games with at least 4 passing touchdowns. So, I mean, it's unfair to say 6 touchdowns, but I think if he throws four. I don't think accounting for 4 would be as strong, but if he can throw for 4, anything else beyond that, I think, is icing on the cake for Kyle Trask.
Yeah, I think that's the magic number for sure. And look, he may not get to that point. It may be to where late in the third quarter, Mullen just decides to pull him, and he hasn't had that. And you know what? To me, the Heisman is not nearly as important as getting the young guys reps.
You're not all locked in it, are you?
I'm not. I understand the importance of it. But to me, some people can get a little too wrapped up in it when I am way more focused on winning games, getting to the college football playoff. Well, obviously, beating Alabama, that's included in the winning games, getting to that college football playoff.
For me, of their 3 Heisman, if he wins it, the 4th Heisman winner, Steve Spurrier is a friend of mine. I've covered him forever. We got to be good friends. I'm friends with his family. I think it's the coolest thing ever that he started it all by winning the Heisman. Danny Werfel is one of the most genuinely good people that I know pretty well. Tim Tebow is an equally good person. 2 wonderful, good Christian spiritual men who are good people and have wonderful ministries and charities and are helping people. And I think it's great that they won it and Steve won it. But this might be the best story of all of them. This guy, nobody wanted him. How good would it be to go from nobody wanted you to you won the Heisman Trophy? Nobody wanted the guy. He never started a game in high school, and he holds the Heisman. How good would that be? In the most improbable of improbable years, wouldn't that be a perfect 2020 with all the bad of 2020?
It's a script. I mean, it really is. It's something out of a movie. And if he is able to do it, then my guess is there probably will be some producer in Hollywood that'll say, yes, we are going to
already working
make
on it,
a
right?
treatment, and we are going to greenlight this project.
So there you go. All right, that'll do it for our program. Big plans for the weekend, Brooks, other than Bunko and winning a championship? Defending a championship.
Gator game tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm going to watch that with my parents. Brian's in a fishing tournament, so he will be off
fishing.
Brian's
missing the Gator game?
He's missing the Gator game for fishing.
Really?
Yeah. It's a friends fishing tournament, so we've got it recorded, though. He can come back and watch while I'm at Bunko.
Okay, what if Hayes and I crash Mike and Seals for the Gator game?
Oh, other than disappointing your good friend Randy.
We wouldn't get thrown out then? We
of
wouldn't get ejected?
So there of course not.
There you go. At some point, we're crashing somewhere. We've talked about the crashing so much. I want food.
Right.
I want drinks.
Debauchery.
I'm going to need debauchery. I'm going to need your hair dry. And that's all coming up at some point. Folks, that's our program. Thanks for being part of it. Thanks to Winder and our friends from Relevant for having us out. You do need to download the app. Relevant. They do a fantastic job It's the best thing going if you want to talk sports or talk about whatever your vibe happens to be. Thanks again to our friends from Relevant. Have a great weekend, everybody. Rick Ballew is next. For Hayes, Lauren, and Gibby, I'm Frank Franchi. So long.